It is a great joy to be in the Lord's presence. And it is a great delight to welcome you for those who are joining us online and for those who are joining us in this space. On a daily basis, we use the word bless to convey varying meanings. And one case is this. If someone sneezes, we often hear people say, bless you. Isn't it? And it is not completely clear why we say that. And for some people, they have grown with the whole idea. And I see even the children at home, once I sneeze, they say, bless you. And I keep wondering what they mean. But I think that one thing is clear, that bless is a positive word. It's something that we all look towards to. Today we are looking at the second beatitude, and Anne had just preached the sermon for the day. I'll only add a wee bit to that. I used a wee bit this morning, and Elspeth said, oh, Dad, you are doing well. You are coming up with Scottish words. Because she happens to be a Scottish teacher at home. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I must tell you that this is one of the beatitudes that on the first, when you look at it from the first, at first, you wonder what Jesus actually meant. Mourning. How is it possible for mourners to be blessed and comforted? It certainly sounds incredible, but that is the good news. The good news that only the gospel of our Lord Jesus brings. And the term used for mourn in this text is translated in Greek, pentio. And pentio carries the idea of deep inner agony that expresses itself in outward sobbing, weeping, and wailing. So it's a very deep word. In the Septuagint, which was an early Greek version of the Old Testament, pentio is the word used to describe Jacob's grief when he was told that Joseph was dead. You know that story. He loved Joseph so dearly, he made for him the coat of many colors. In fact, Joseph was very close to the father's heart, and he had sent Joseph out to see the brothers, and they returned and said to him that a wild animal had eaten up Joseph while they had sold him into slavery. Jacob wept, he grieved, he mourned. And that's the kind of the deep word that is used here. Again, this word is also used to describe the experience or the response of the disciples of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 10, after Jesus' crucifixion. For the Bible says that those who had been with Jesus were mourning and weeping. They were sobbing. It was very deep. It was as though the end had come. Like Anne had mentioned, there are many ways to mourn and lots of things to be sad about. You cannot count them. They are countless. So many things we can mourn. But for a start, Jesus proclaims blessing on those who mourn over the sin in their own lives. And mourning here is not just mere regret or implied acknowledgement, but repentance and penitence. In Psalm chapter 15, Psalm number 15, 51 verse 17, it says that a broken and a contrite heart, God will never overlook. And so mourning has to do with repentance, turning away, penitence. It is not just a lip service of acknowledging, to say, you know, I'm sorry. There's a story about a couple, and each time he was the husband that will always offend. I don't know why it is always like that. But anyway, the husband will offend, and the next he will say is, I'm sorry. And then again, he will do it and say, I'm sorry. Again, I am sorry. And then the wife says, is that the best you can say? And of course, sorry loses its importance and relevance. Some people have a shallow, unconnected relationship with God. They feel very distant from God because, in a way, they have shallow repentance and not real sorrow for sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 promises, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God is interested in real and genuine relationship. He wants us to be genuine. He wants us to be in a genuine relationship with him. And so he invites us to this place of repentance. Again, we mourn because the world is not as it should be. There are not only personal evils, but societal evils. We see injustice, inequality, racism, unemployment, drugs, terrorism, and violence. And those of you who listened to the President of America, President Trump, he said during his inaugural speech that he will wipe away, whatever that means, from the surface of the earth, radical Islamic activities. And the world is watching out to see how he is going to do that. There's something evident in that comment, and the evident thing is that we are in a world that is tormented by violence. And it is something that everybody knows and everybody sees, both small, both old, young, everybody knows that we live in a fragile world. Someone once went to a fortune teller to inquire what the future holds for him. And the answer he received was, you will suffer for the next 25 years of your life. And that was not what the person expected. He asked, okay. And then after 25 years, what happens? The fortune teller said, and then you get used to it. You know, if you look in our society, in our world, it looks like there are people who live in this kind of situation. It looks as though they've gotten used to pain and agony. And this beatitude invites us to sobbing, to thoughtful reflection. Mourning over a broken world causes us to pray. And when we pray, it is not just the ordinary prayer we say, but we pray from our heart of hearts, if that is correct. Mourning for what we see in our world moves us to a place of prayer. And it also invites us to a place of participating in what God is doing right now. In what God is doing already in our world. In fact, it is when God breaks our hearts for what is wrong with our world that we realize that part of the prayer he gave us says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Until we are moved in our hearts to a place of prayer, the Lord's Prayer will simply be an empty word that we say every Sunday. Because we not only pray for the kingdom, we work for the kingdom in our workplaces, in our families, in our communities. We'll find ways of participating in what God is doing already to make a better world. In a broken world, we also mourn because life brings sadness. Spouses leave, children run away, we lose our finances, friends and families fail, we grow old. Marriages fail, people get sick, and we grieve after any sort of loss, but mostly after the death of someone we love and have known for some time. For others who have experienced stillbirth or miscarriages, or have lost young babies, they also grieve in the same way. Grief touches everyone, young and old, rich and poor, male and female. None are exempt. Again, we also find a long, slow mourning when we realize that our children or those we care about are not living up to our dreams or to their own dreams. Each time you remember them, you are sobbing, you are agonizing. You always wish that you could do something differently. But you know they are your children, you cannot throw them away. You are not going to give up on them because they are your flesh, they are your blood. And for some, they mourn over all of this. There is a kind of Christianity that gives the impression that faith in Christ exempts us from this kind of pains and challenges of life by declaring a blessing on those who mourn. Jesus invites us to stay strong in the face of pains. At the early period when I lost my dad, I had done some visiting and done a few things, and I was alone at the manse. And for some reasons, I started singing some songs, and unconsciously, I started singing his favorite hymn. I'm not going to sing it today. And as soon as I started singing it, unconsciously, I saw myself, tears dropping from my eyes. And I remembered I was not going to see him again until we meet again in God's kingdom. Jesus is inviting us to stay strong in the face of those things that make us mourn. Even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God can use any situation, including saddening ones, to connect our hearts to his own heart. And that is the comfort, that's the blessing for those who mourn. Perhaps this morning you are in your mourning phase of life. Don't give up. We don't talk about death or forgiveness or heaven very much, perhaps in our society, and even in the societies I've experienced. There's so much talk about now, getting it now, having riches now, having wealth now. And in some churches, we hardly or sometimes tend not to speak about that. But when we are facing serious illness, loss or heartaches, we start to wonder if there is more to this life than we see. In Revelation chapter 21, from verse 4 to 5, we are reminded of the ultimate remedy for grief. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning or crying or pain. for the old order of things have passed away. And we sing this hymn all the time, CH4749. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Let me try and see if I can sing it this morning. And if I don't get it right, no competition with Fiona, who is a professional singer. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Though we may not always understand it, though sometimes we doubt it, the promise of eternity is certain. Our pilgrimage to that city of joy can be full of tears. We may temporarily walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we are never alone. The Holy Spirit, our comforter, will walk each step along the way with us, refreshing us with the great joy. Amen.